Welcome to Nodcast, episode 138. Pop-Tart Cats. Meow, 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 meow. That was cute, though. You have to admit, that banner was cute. The little Pop-Tart fender.
I loved all the people getting butthurt over it.
How would you get butthurt over that?
Because you don't have a life.
I mean, that's like people getting mad about the April Fool's ones. Oh, wait, people get mad about those, too.
People get mad about everything, and people can eat a dick.
Yeah, seriously.
A whole bag of dicks. Rancid, you know, dicks.
Go to the medical terminal, install some skin weave upgrades, get some thicker skin.
So, who are you?
I'm Saverin, and I'm not a pony.
I'm Webster, and I'm here.
Yay. And I am Recky, I guess.
And you're also not a pony.
I'm
not
you're
a pony of hate.
I am not a pony of anything.
Okay. I'm only a pony part-time, but not on this podcast.
I'll be a Koopa of hate.
Okay.
I will not be a pony of hate.
Yeah, black, tan, and evil.
Black, tan, and evil.
That's how you roll. Unfortunately, both Fuzz and Shiva were stricken down this week.
With the plague that Webster gave them, so she could be on the show this week.
Yeah, that's totally how it rolls. No, actually, Fuzz had some gnarly oral surgery. Had some crazy shit with that. He can't talk for shit right now. Shiva has plague, though, you know. As we discussed last week, you know, Chakas can contain the crazy, but sometimes it makes them ill. Well, this is one of those times. But other than that, it has been a magical week. I'm nearing completion for my coursework and stuff, and we'll have my piece of paper very soon. Yay.
Congratulations!
Woo-hoo. I can actually get a real job now. Yay!
Double woohoo.
Yep, that little piece of paper does quite a bit, I know.
Yep. So, this week was an open topic. We were sort of like, yeah, just throw it out there. We'll kind of talk about whatever. We're going to read the emails we got and, you know, discuss the contest again. We only had a few people sign up, but we're still going for till the end of this next week. And the winners will be announced on the next show. Prizes are, one, a copy of Portal, the original, and the second one is a copy of Audio Surf, which is awesome, too. Both of them are on Steam, and we will be doing that on the air next week. So I was, hey, I had some spare copies, so we'll do a little contest.
Giggle.
Giggle.
Tee-hee.
So it is now 8:38 p.m., and let's get to the first email. Do you want to start, Recky, and then we'll go around my way?
Sure, just tell me which of these.
Start with the one titled Pointless Spending.
All right. Hey again, naughty casters. This is from Korochi? Oh, sorry, I can never
spell these
damn Japanese names or somethingese names. Racism fast.
Furry ease.
Something recently came up between my friends and I thought I'd use the non-topic week to annoy you guys with a question.
Oh, great.
Every now and then when I run out of things to do, I shop around online for a sword. I know people who do that shit. I have no use for a sword. I'm not often holding off pirates or ninjas. I can think of two possible uses for a live sword. One of them, as opposed to a, you know, not living sword. Well, one of which would be to scare off an intruder, to be honest. I don't think I could actually stab anyone. The other use would be for something less insane like a zombie apocalypse. I'm in the UK, so it's not like I have a gun stashed away. Back to reality, though. I've always been careful, very careful with money, and made sure it's never wasted, yet I have this underlying need to buy an expensive and useless thing just to own it. As I said, this came up in conversation with my friends, and they admitted to having similar pointless but very specific wants. Is it common for people to have an underlying want like this, or just another extension of my insanity? If this is common, and you've all bought or wanted to buy something useless that you couldn't quite explain, what was it? This random nonsense brought to you by Kuroshi. Fox hugs for all, less than three. Oh, everyone's bought something that they shouldn't have before, you know?
Or, you know, just stuff that you've wanted for a while, and useless or not, it's, you know, you own it now. It's like, it's mine.
I mean, precious. Also, I mean, there's this there's this stigma of you should not buy anything you want. You should only buy things you need. And that's bullshit. If you have the money to do it and you're being responsible with your money and, you know, and you have the cash to do it and it will not hurt, then shit, buy yourself something every now and then. You know, that's my theory.
I don't tend to buy useless things, but I'll spend the extra money and I'll get collector's editions of stuff. You know, I'm the kind of person that finds, you know, a soundtrack or, like, for me, I find great value in, like, in the World of Warcraft collector's editions. They're still the game, same game, but has an art book, a CD, a DVD, and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
But to me, I take value in that. That's something neat. It's a nice box to put on my shelf next to the other.
But it's game. A want.
It's a want.
But that's okay,
though. And that's perfectly fine. You know, as long as your shit's covered.
I walked into Best Buy last week to buy Mortal Kombat for PS3, and I was just going to spend the $60 on that copy of Mortal Kombat. Then, oh my god, the beautiful, humongous special edition with like the book holders that was Sub-Zero's, you know,
getting speared
by Scorpion, and then the nice art book and all the DLC that I can't redeem because PSN is down, and I had to get a new credit card because of that bullshit, and you know, all just the beautiful, nice stuff that came with it. It was $100 instead of $60. So.
But I mean, you find value in having the nice, you know, you can now have you can have Scorpion spearing Sub-Zero through your entire game collection because his chain is that fucking long.
Yes.
Oh shit. Whenever I'm like lounge, I hit the little release on my seat, so I dropped in a foot down. Now I'm even shorter. Whoops.
Natural descent.
Yeah. So
it's the intense and ever gratifying need for a shiny.
Yeah. We like our shinies. And, I mean, we got a new car. That was a shiny.
Yeah.
And it was a very shiny, expensive shiny that Panther had been wanting for quite a while. And now with his new job, we were able to get it. And he was a little nervous, you know, he kind of felt like the same way. Excuse me. And now that he has it, he loves it. And I'm super happy that he does, because he has a car that he likes to drive, which means it's a car he likes to drive. It's not the Corolla, which means I'll have a car again. Yay! You
know? Well, it's like, for example, Sarah and I, for a while there, he had a pretty shit job that wasn't really, you know...
Wasn't shit?
It wasn't doing much for us. It was enough for him to pay his car payment. That's pretty much it. His car payment and, like, some groceries. And then mine pretty much paid for the rest of the bills and our entertainment and whatnot. Now he's working at the same place I am. I mean, I've got an actual career there, but between the two of us, we're doing extremely well now. And then suddenly we have money to do some stuff we want to do.
Yeah.
I've always looked at getting commissions on a wide scale as just wasteful spending. Like I there are some furs that I know they can't afford to get all the commissions they do. And these are the same people who will post like $300 worth of commissions and then bitch about not having money for food at the end of the week. And
oh, I'm eating ramen again, but check out this awesome print of my character getting triple penetrated.
But yeah, we have spent in the past 2 months probably over $1,000.
You double furries.
Yes. But guess what? We can fucking do it, and it's a shiny that we wanted.
Yeah. So. I mean, once you reach that certain threshold, and for a lot of y'all, y'all haven't reached it yet. But once you do, it's pretty liberating.
Yeah. So I think we answered his question pretty well.
Yeah. So we're going to go on to the next email.
I think Webster answered it the best, the need for a shiny.
Yes. Well,
even on a less expensive scale, I'll go out and see a pair of socks and be like, ooh, these are dragon socks. I must have them. They are mine.
Yeah, tiny little things that affirm your financial independence. That you're not purely a slave to your job so you can pay the rent, but you can have nice things too. Okay, so the next email is... titled Pop-Tart Cats, or How I Learned to Stop Hating and Love the Fandom. So I figured with the Open Topic Week, I would write in and tell you about the tale of how I got myself into the furry fandom. Hilariously enough, it all started with the now infamous CSI episode Fur and Loathing in Las Vegas. Yes, that is in fact the title. You see, current members saw only the disparaging look at the fandom. I saw hot, hot fursuit sex. So I didn't basically so much find Furry Fandom, I rather searched it out looking for porn, specifically furry porn. However, what I found is something different than what I expected, and for the most part, that is. You see, I fully expected a bunch of dirty perverts. Instead, I found a wonderful and accepting community that I enjoy being and probably always will be a part of. We're also a lot of dirty perverts. Smiley face. No, I added that last part on. Also, some other stuff that came about was the realization that I was gay. Took me long enough. Needless to say, I'm glad I found it, and I hope that the various stigmas surrounding the community I love evaporate over time. Yours truly, Jeffrey Wolf. P.S. Fuzzwank.
Uh-huh, I didn't read it.
Nope. That is kind of interesting, though. So, when it comes to the furry fandom, it's one of those things that the internet... It's the internet punching bag. It really is. You know, never mind the fact that you can look at FA's stats and see that, you know, less than a quarter of the stuff posted is adult. That, you know, it's not as absolutely sex-driven as it would appear to be, you know.
And the whole punching bag thing, in my opinion, has... It's gotten less and less over time.
I think in a lot of ways that the fact that, you know, the goons really hated furries and the furries and the goons sort of became the furries. So it's like there was a bit of cross-pollinization and there was cross-pollinization between furry and 4chan. And yeah, that was sort of a negative. Whoops. My phone just went bling.
You should make it not
bling. I should make it not bling. You know, and it's like you have this certain culture that, you know, both enjoys the furry porn but then hates the thought of it. It's really weird. So it's like the people that hate on it the most are probably the ones that have the biggest stashes.
Yeah.
You know, you can find all the, you know, sexy fur and onto hard blush stuff on B you could ever want. In the same thread of people posting gore and dead cats, you know, it's this weird schizophrenic self-hate thing. It's bizarro. It furries the internet punching bag, but the people that are doing the punching are often just as much part of it.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just my sort of weird tangent. Well,
those are honestly the people I hate the worst.
Yeah.
I mean,
the self-hating furries.
Well, and then you've got, here's another thing. You've got some people that are there are some people that should take a slice of humble pie and not act like they're somehow better than everyone else just because they hate themselves. Like, I'm a furry, yet, okay, I hate furry apologists. They suck ass.
Okay.
You know.
Please, elaborate.
Well, I just don't understand. It's like, to me, here's how much sense it makes. I love my PlayStation 3. I'm not going to apologize to anyone for buying a fucking PlayStation. I'm not going to apologize to anyone for using this iPad. So, you know, and I'm not going to apologize to anyone for liking Power Rangers and Pokemon and Ninja Turtles when I grew up. Why the fuck would I do that? Something I enjoyed. So why would I apologize over something I enjoy? Those people I don't get. And they take pride in hanging out with furries, but it's like a jock that hangs out with the nerds, really likes the nerds, but has so much self-loathing, goes over to the jocks and say, oh yeah, they're a bunch of faggots.
Yeah. You
know, I'm sorry. If that's how you live your life, please kill yourself. Seriously.
Well, it's one of those things that, you know, people try to, and with the internet, people try to paint the entire fandom with this massive broad brush.
Yeah, just that cocks and balls.
All furries are overweight zoophiles fucking each other in carpet.
Yeah.
Which is retarded and dumb. And just, that is so dumb. Oh my God. You know? And the people waste their time hating on this, and this, you know, it's come up in the brony community, and I'm sure Flane and I will be discussing it this week on our other show, Bronyville, bronyshow.com, but it's one of those things where you have the people that are actually adding to the fairies fandoms and stuff, and then the people that just waste time hating on it, who are the people that are actually, you know, making it better.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was sort of a weird little tangent that spawned off that email, but it's one of those things that come up recently. It's like, oh, I've got to discuss this, but I'm going to have to discuss it with Flayne on the show.
Well, I mean, one little point I want to say before we go away from it is that I am in no way excusing some of the bullshit that happens in the fandom.
Oh,
we do have our share of crazy. We do have our share of dumbass people. And yeah, no. we're talking about this on a show, you know, nicknamed after Dog Dong. But, you know, I think that's at the same time saying that we can, you know, pick on ourselves as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, not to the point where we're apologizing
about it. It's like, I like the furry fandom. I've met a lot of good people in the furry fandom. There are parts of the furry fandom that I loathe, but I'm not going to say that the parts that I loathe are all of the furry fandom. I'm smarter than that. So, yeah. On to the next email, which is going to be titled, How Can I Show Him He's Perfect to Me? This one's sort of a word salad.
God, there's no punctuation.
Yeah, rather a bit. Okay, so I've been trying to show my friend that he would be the perfect mate for me, and I've known him for about 2 months now. And about 1.5 months ago, he broke up with his mate, and I was there to comfort him when he needed it, and we got really close since then. But recently, he started thinking he's not good enough for anyone, but I keep telling him that he's wrong, and he also thinks that if we become mates, that his ex will come after me. But I tell him I don't care. So he told me to wait because of the distance, so I told him I would, and I plan on going to see him sometime over the summer. I just want to show him that he's perfect to me. Thanks for your time. I hope to get some great ideas from you guys.
Oh shit, there was a period in there. I missed it.
There was a couple, actually.
Oh, okay. Really?
But she read it in a very, very well, though.
You did.
You did.
I mean, that was...
Good job.
You emulated pissed off paranoid schoolgirl perfectly.
Well, I do paranoid schoolgirl really, really well, okay. Can I say.
Okay, so I have to actually look at this to realize what he has said here.
Okay, so basically, he's known this guy for about 2 months, and 1.5 months ago, the other guy broke up with his boyfriend or whatever, and he wants to find out how he can show that this other guy, the author of the email, is the perfect dude for his friend, the guy who broke up with his mate. And the guy he likes is having self-doubt. And, you know, image issues or something, perhaps self-esteem. And he's afraid that if the author and the guy he likes hook up, that the ex of the other person will come after the author of the email. And this is also implied a long-distance relationship.
What do you mean, come after? Like, I am you and be like, oh, you motherfucker, snap, you
stole my man.
My head has been stuck like this. I cannot stop shaking it. Well, you know, I hate to be the one to sit here and say, you know, whatever to drama, but fuck that guy, seriously. I mean, what are you going to do, come after somebody?
It is a little silly, yes. Ultimately, I think it's good that the guy that you like is looking to have some time between breaking up and actually having a new relationship. That is good. Smart.
Mm-hmm.
So that he can figure out where he is personally before he decides to hook up with somebody else. And while it's great that you have feelings for him, you can't really show somebody how you're the perfect mate for them except by, you know, personal interaction and long-term getting to know each other. You can't just be like, this is my stat card. I've got, you know, 8 stars in every stat and 10 in charisma. But I think that trying to visit him over the summer would be wise. That's always a good thing. And if it's visitable over the summer, that probably implies that it's not terribly long distance, which is pretty good. Those can be easily maintained. But... best bet, talk to him online, talk to him on the phone, talk to him on Skype. Don't be overbearing crazy. And, you know, go see him in the summer and see how you interact face-to-face.
Yep, that's pretty solid advice. Because
you can be everything lovey-dovey online, but then you meet face-to-face and there's no chemistry. Whoops.
Yeah. You know, I've noticed that even happens with, like, people you meet as friends.
Yeah.
Like, I've talked to a few people online, I've met them in real life, and I'm just like...
Wow, you're not your persona, are you?
You kind of suck. You're not this nice, sweet person that's always, you know, that they always shift 6'6 with the happy eyes. Yeah, you're not that in real life.
Like, you're not nearly that weeaboo. But, I mean...
Raging Thunder Cunts. Yeah, that you know, I would just say exactly what Saverin said. Just go with the flow with it. Give it some time, and, you know, if someone tries to quote unquote come after you, hit the fucking block button.
Yeah, it ain't no seriously. Thing. You know, ooh.
You stole his man, you homewrecker. His man, he probably only know online.
Oh, hell no. Headbobs.exe.
.dmg, God.
Well, it depends.
Bobblehead X. Also, in terms of helping with self-esteem, it can also, with like, don't go crazy-ass, like, stalker, fanboy. But you can be enthusiastic about somebody. And just, when something that they do is really awesome, just be like, dude, that's awesome.
Thumbs up, bro. Fuck yeah. You know, high five.
Saverin, if you keep ponying, I'm gonna...
I didn't say anything.
I'm just saying I'm gonna come after you, you know.
Oh, please.
I'm gonna IM you later, Saverin, be like, I hate you, Saverin, with all your ponies. I hate you. You're a terrible person.
Well, I will love and tolerate the shit out of you. Just so you know.
I hate you. Okay, so... my turn.
The herd forgives. Yes, the next title is, I believe, Lily. Yes. Just sort of a shorty.
Okay. Hi, Fuzz and rest of crew. I'm so sorry to hear of Lily's passing. I know she was a big part of your cast. As a cat owner myself, I know how it is for you guys to deal with a loss like that, because they become a part of your family. I'm sorry you have to deal with such a thing, and you know the best, but you know the best you can do for Lily is be strong for her, because she really was a true member of your cast when she wanted to be. I had no clue how old she was, but I do send my deepest condolences to you guys. Remember her when she was at her best, and you'll get through this. Take care and do me a big favor. Give whoever this goes to a warm kitty hug for me, because they deserve to be cared and supported through this time. She lived her life to the fullest, so she deserves to live her afterlife just as full. Take care, guys, and good luck with the with your cast, okay? Have a great week. Sincerely, Andrew or SWSP.
And it is only fitting that you, the one she hated the most, read that email.
Yes.
You get a kitty hug, which is sort of a ghost kitty bite.
Cats fucking hate me. I do not know why.
Because you own a dog.
Even when I didn't own dogs, cats have always hated me. Yeah, I didn't own Sydney when Lily first met me.
That's true, and Lily hated you because Lily you were...
fucking hated me. I didn't know why. Well, I went.
You were mean to her once, and she never forgave you.
She was mean to me before that, though.
Yeah. She
just kind of gave it back one day, and then it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, she was, you know, it's always sitting. Like,
fuck this motherfucker, you know?
It's like, oh, that guy again. I'm going to steal his chair. I'm going to sit behind him and stare at his head. Going to cough a hairball on his shoes.
And yeah, I really feel bad for...
You know, it is sad. I mean, it's really strange to not have...
We call her on the show.
The roommate.
A friend of mine recently... lost his cat that he's had like for over 3/4 of his entire life, and he's 26.
Yeah,
that was an old cat, and I met the cat once when I visited, and then I came out like a little over a month later, and the cat was not there because he had to put her down. And he's just like, you know, I don't even want to begin to know what I'm going to be like when I lose Sydney one day.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it's still sad to not have her around, because you know you realize it's like, oh, you know. The laundry room door is closed because that's where litter box was. Well, it's closed because she's not here. And,
right.
You know, it's those little things where it's like, you know, you don't have to be quite as diligent closing the door because she'd come into the room behind you. You know, and we didn't want cat hair in our bedroom.
Yeah.
But it's sad.
Friend of mine is just not. He's doing better now, but I just feel really bad for him. And I feel bad for your roommate, too.
She was, you know. Cheered up by the condolences we received. We got quite a few, and we forwarded them on to her, plus the thread on FA on our journal, which was nice.
Yeah.
So, now that little downer moment is done. Let's go to the next email. Getting famous. This is in tiny text. Okay. Hello, y'all. I've been a long time on and off fan of your show. Okay. Having a listen when time allowed and really enjoying myself. I even sent you a few questions once upon a time, and it was very cool to hear them answered on a podcast. You can call me Coco, and I'm a white cat, blah, blah, blah. What's up? Before the actual question, I have a little background story to provide, so please bear with me. It all started a few years ago when I began making experimental music and posting on FA. These songs achieved little to no recognition, save for a few kindly folks, and some of whom I'm still in contact with today. Then a crippling depression struck, and along with it some serious writer's block, where every new tune I'd try was immediately scrapped as I felt nothing was good enough anymore. Fast forward to a few weeks ago, where I have a new persona, new FA, and a new appreciation for rap and hip-hop tunes. I make one song, gets a few notes of attention. Second song, I'm already past 200 views and possibly still climbing. Then I perform this second song at Wild Nights last Saturday, making lyrics more PG per the event director's request, and it was met with thunderous applause and lots of positive feedback later on. I feel as if this is the turning point in my musical career. Like years from now, after I've made maybe a few CDs of furry theme rap and R&B, maybe some other genres mixed in too, gaining a lot of fans and notoriety, this will be the time I'm living right now, which I'll think back upon with fondness and I can't believe I got this far from here line of thinking. So basically, I'm full of different emotions and excitement, ready to see what happens next. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're getting your shit together. And now for my question. Could you share with us the point where your furry podcast went from a little fling with friends to the immensely popular among the fandom fixture it has become? Maybe you've shared the origins of Notcast before, maybe even posted somewhere, but there are surely some more awesome stories about how things coalesce as they have, and I really want to hear them and use them for inspiration. P.S. If you're allowed to play X-rated lyrics and find this tune enjoyable, it'll be really awesome to hear my breakout single played on your podcast. Smiley face, Coco. Okay, so when... You know, when I was growing up on the rock farm with my two sisters, we were preparing for the rock harvest, and we were going to move the rocks from the west field to the south field. Then this one day, I looked up in the sky, and there was a sonic rainbow. No. Hi.
Hi.
Anyways, so Notcast was started as a joke.
Hashtag tiger blood for Saverin.
The podcast was proposed by Fuzz February 2008.
Basically, it was
a while back.
It was a wild hair him and I were throwing around at the office.
We should make a podcast for canines and call it Notcast, because at the time there was this other podcast called Clawcast still around, and we thought that was funny. And we were sort of like, what are we going to do with this? This is, how are we going to make this idea happen? Well, at the time, Panther had a few audio bits and bobs that we were using. And we were like, well, why don't we do this? And I think it was Fuzz and I talking. We came up with the idea we could do a relationship advice podcast like Dan Savage. Dan Savage is really awesome. And we thought that we could do a part of what he does to our own little niche, you know. Because as sex-drenched and relationship-heavy as the fandom is, and the importance placed upon having relationships, we saw a lot of people making really dumb mistakes. And alleviating those mistakes, at least trying to, we figured would be helpful. Because all of the people involved in the show had stable relationships, and all of them are still going. Who, you know. So, it's been pretty good. But it started out as something of a joke. And we recorded episode 0, and we were clunky at it. We had shitty audio quality for the first, you know, 30 or 40 episodes. You know, episode 20 came around, we had the break-in and lost all of our initial equipment. But our fans were awesome and helped us get us back on track. And now we have a really good setup. Which we've, you know, replaced, not due to wear or loss, just upgraded multiple times since then. But I don't know when we really got big. I mean, I'm trying to think of what was sort of a turning point, because I mean, when I think it was RCFM a couple years back, they were in that crappy little hotel, single floor, whatever. And I had just been discussing with Panther at the time, you know, how many, you know, what our listener stuff was. And I was like, the realization, like, wow, we have more listeners than are at this con. That was kind of interesting, kind of cool. And since then, you know, we've done live shows that have been very well attended at Furry Fiesta. We had done shows there all 3 years. We've done shows at FWA. We were guests of honor at OklaCon, which was cool as fuck, let me tell you. And I got so drunk at the wine social. It was amazing. That was a very entertaining evening. And we may be doing a show at another upcoming convention, because we haven't done one before. So that's pretty cool. So, I mean, I can say that we're definitely we're up there. Where people know who we are, and I really wonder if some people actually believe that we take ourselves to be famous podcasters, and if they actually believe it, or if they understand that we're being somewhat facetious in that. Well, it is always nice, though, to have people go, oh, wait, you're Saverin, I love your show. That's incredibly gratifying, and I don't really know how to, still don't really know how to respond to that sometimes.
But hopefully it's actually never stopped being just spending an evening sitting around.
Oh, it's you know, we've decided, you know, that whenever this stopped being something fun that we did on a Thursday night, the show would die the next week. I mean, this is not going to be one of those shows that we slog it out for 500 episodes and not having fun for the past 300, you know. When this is a chore, the show ends. So,
fortunately, y'all have been friends for oh my god!
And yeah, we've been friends a good while.
Mm-hmm. It bodes well for the longevity of the show.
I'm getting to know Sheila better. I really hadn't gotten to know her until I started back on the show.
She's a pretty cool gal
with
all them extra limbs and stuff. But you know, it's certainly been pretty cool. So, I've been rambly as fuck here. What about you? Anything that you wanted to add, Ricky? Sorry.
I certainly don't look at myself as, oh my god, famous podcaster. And it's all been received pretty well throughout the years. I've had maybe like two or three people out of, what, since the start in 2008 that have told me I have no business doing this. And it's usually because they did not like me for some other reason.
No. So,
honestly, out of that many people that I've known and that many people that listen to the show, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
Good numbers there.
You know, I've never had that happen.
Like I said, I think it came from just the...
Yeah. But, you know, if anybody did, it'd be like, well, you know what? That's just, like, your opinion, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty... Well, you know me. I'm pretty much like, well, fuck you, too.
Yeah. Fuck you. Yeah.
No, it's... I'll be honest, my... you know, I've had a lot of people IM me, and...
Yeah.
You know, it's. I know I'm not the most responsive person.
Oh, me neither. I'm on AIM and people IM me, I do try to reply.
Yeah.
But I'm usually doing other things. I'm playing Minecraft, or I'm on Team Fortress 2, or I'm recording something, or I'm, you know, looking at furry porn, which I don't really do that much. I'm kidding.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually made some friends through it, too. You know, it's been
pretty cool. And, you know, there's some pretty cool people that I've found that are, like, huge fans of the show, which kind of weirded me out in a way, but, you know.
And there have been some funny things that have come out of it before.
The lemon story.
Yeah. Oh, god damn. That's the lemon thing, you know, Zap saying.
The joke that only the live people heard at this year's live show. At Furry Fiesta?
Yeah, well, one joke is that my my mom eats lemons whole, you know, because she doesn't like having her picture taken, so she scowls in every picture, you know, looks at you like she's going to kill you. And Zap made the whole, you know, lemons joke. And one time Sarah and I were out at my parents' house, my mom asked us if we wanted lemon and something. We felt fucking lost it. But, No, one funny thing that happened was I took my little sabbatical from the show and got my life together and figured out a lot of personal things and figured out a lot of trust things and a lot of, you know, and who real friends were, what adults really were like, you know, that kind of thing, and strengthened my relationship and all that, and also, you know, revealed a little fetish I have, and Anyway, that,
and we didn't kill you.
And y'all didn't kill me. And I was particularly worried about you sending me hate beams. But yes, ow. And for those who that goes way over their head, the whole, you know, diaper fur thing. And it was one funny thing that had happened was someone, like a couple of people in that subcategory of the fandom were listening to the show and be like, wait, 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 wait. He's the one with the deep voice. I'm just like, yep. So,
who, you or me?
Yeah, me.
Oh.
You know?
Like, I have.
Well, I mean, I'm the. I don't usually fit the profile.
Oh, 6 foot.
Hairy bear, you know.
Man, so, you know.
It's just funny what people assume. Like, people who've never seen pictures of us or met us at shows, it's that made me realize, okay, what. When they listen to the show, what do they think we look like? Or, you know, it's just funny. Or what kind of type of people we are outside of the show, you know?
You know, I'm totally a 4'8", 6-inch-year finnick that is sarcastic as fuck and stuff. No, I mean, it is one of those things that people at me sometimes and they're like ultra inappropriate right out the gate. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, those people usually don't even get replied to or get blocked immediately.
Or I'll be like, no, I'm just reading this thing on history of science fiction and Western literature or something like that. It's like I'm reading this thing on Robert Granito or, you know, pick your poison. Yeah. Like, no, I'm voice chatting with a dozen other people in Steam chat room. You know? No, I'm not having a wild orgy of text on with people.
No.
No.
No. Well, we're a lot more boring than that. So.
From the outside, it's just been interesting to watch you guys, because I didn't listen to the show for a long time, but I knew you guys.
It's because you're a bitch. No, I'm playing. I'm kidding.
I don't take it personally. Cool. I know who I am. But it's just been interesting to see and listen to some of the little moments of almost surprise when you hit, like, certain benchmarks. Just like on Tuesday nights, hear somebody say, we did this. It was like, it was neat.
Yeah.
I remember at Oaklacon this last year when I went to the live show, I was out in the audience and one of the guys out there leaned over to me and was like, that's Fuzzwolf. He's always like that. I was like, I know. It was awesome.
Nice.
Well, I mean,
that was a fun show too.
I'm looking at Twitter right now, and if he means a douchebag, no, I'm kidding, Fuzz.
Yeah. But yeah, what is this? Why is Twitter making noises? What is this? Oh my god. So on that note, we're gonna take a quick break. I'm gonna play some music. It's not gonna be ponies this week, I promise. I think certain members of our listener base would probably try to kill me if I slipped another week of pony music in. But it's okay. I'll keep slipping it in once new stuff comes out.
Can we listen to pony stuff in real life?
Maybe. So we're going to play song by artist because I haven't picked anything out yet. And I'll add it on after the break. All right. Enjoy? Question mark. And we're back. That was Hogtied by Brandon Strader and Rexy off Sonic the Hedgehog, The Speed of Sound, one of the OC Remix albums that was just recently released off OCRemix.org. And now for this week's item, it's a massive purple dong. I mean, this shit's purple.
That is purple.
That is purple.
Definitively purple.
And I think I might have used this recently, but I don't know. It's purple. This is a decently large 6.5 inch of purple power. It's a 2.5. It's 6.5 inches long with 2.25 inches in diameter. It is also ready for harnesses, or it has a suction cup base, so you can use it in your shower and fuck yourself. It's realistic details. It's PVC. You can, you know, use.
You put it that way, there's a lot of people I want to buy. I want to sell this to.
Yes, it is waterproof. It is over 1 pound in weight. It is compatible with strap-on harnesses. I mean, this is, and it's translucent, naughty purple, not like regular purple. This is naughty purple.
Mm-hmm.
And it is $29.95, but if you use our coupon code NOT at AdamandEve.com or click the banner on our website at foxstuffers.com, you get 50% off one item, 3 free DVDs, free shipping, and a mystery gift. So you can get this really big dong for $15 and some bonus stuff. And a portion of every sale goes to help us pay the bandwidth, which is always helpful. So we are going to get back to our emails. And I read the last one, didn't I? Yes, I did. So, the next one is Webster's. I need to go back to some of my email folder. Yay! The one titled Query.
All right. Hello there. I have a little scenario I'd like to tell you about, and I'm currently having a bit of trouble trying to figure out what I should do about it. So here's the thing. I'm currently falling for this guy who lives in Austin, and I live all the way out in New Zealand, so we're quite far away from each other.
Just a bit.
I really, really like him, and the same goes with him as well, as he said he wants to come and visit me, and if things get serious, he might come back and move here to be with me. We haven't had a proper meeting or anything like that, but he's everything I've been looking for. We have so much in common, we're both creative cats, so we share our ideas together. He also admits he hasn't felt like this in such a while, and that he has a good feeling about this. The big problem is that I'm 18 and he is 33. My mom is only a little bit older than him, and I'm thinking if things get serious between us when he visits, what am I going to do about my mom when it comes to telling her? I think I could tell her that he's younger and hope she doesn't somehow find out, but it can't be a secret forever if I get extremely serious with him. I mean, my mom would like it as long as I'm happy, but I really don't know how she'd handle his real age and everything. She might have trouble even talking to me after it, and she may disagree with us. This is my scenario, and I'm just wondering if you guys have any advice on how to work around this, and if you think I should go ahead with it if I really like him. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Peace out, Confused Kitty.
Oh, boy. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, you shouldn't be dating someone that much older than you, because I know some people who I'm friends with that, you know, if I said that, they'd be like, hey, Recky, what the fuck, man? So, you know, whatever.
That's true. You're not going to sit there, but I might.
For the first time in history of this show, I'm going to pass the asshole baton on to Saffron.
Yes.
Please take it with pride.
You know, it has so many marks on it with your name next to it. So, I mean, I've got to have a round. So, this dude, I know. He sounds all awesome as fuck.
Oh, wow, you're going to go there, huh?
But, and I know the age is a number. It is a valuable, important number.
It is.
Half your age plus 7 should be the minimum. You're under that. Well, that's just a good thing to go by. This sounds immensely creepy to me. I'm sorry. International, like, creeper is gonna creep, and I hope that the guy in Austin's not necessarily listening to this, because I mean, I don't know you, I don't know him, But I mean, that kind of age gap, international, him wanting to come move internationally to be with you, is that what that said? Yeah. You're so much in common and creative cats, and that's great. But this is something that is like, I would have so much caution. I mean, tell me if I'm being out of line. You know, just be like, this is something that you have to approach with, you know.
I'm inclined to agree.
A bulwark of steel between you and this person just to cover your ass. You know, talking to him over Skype is one thing, but getting to know him RL is another.
I'll actually go a little bit further and say that age is a number, and the difference between 25 and 35, not necessarily all that much. The difference between 18 and 22 can be huge.
And the fact that he's not terribly much younger than your mom.
That's a little creepy.
That is a little creepy.
Yes, yes it is.
And I'm just, that it to me, it sounds extremely creepy and not a little bit scary. The fact that this person is going to have to, you know, take their passport, fly 12 hours across the Pacific to get to New Zealand to say hi.
You're also talking cross-continent.
International.
International.
Gay relationship.
Cross-generational. It's going to be difficult from a practical standpoint.
And this is not to say that, you know, he could be the nicest person in the world. And, you know, we're, you know, being really off the mark by saying he's a creeper runaway. But it's also, this is one of those things that the internet can give you some really strange ideas. And that a random dude on the net, age 33, hooking up with an 18-year-old who's still a teenager, you know, in New Zealand, you know, a couple years younger, and you'd have Chris Hansen asking him to have a seat over there.
Especially if you've never met him and he's already talking about moving to be cross-globe with you.
Yeah. So, ideally, talk to this person over the phone. You need to be truthful with your mom on this. Like, seriously, this is not only for your protection, but hers as well. Random dude her age showing up and doing what with her son? That would raise so many alarm bells. Even if you tell her that he's 25.
Son? Is he?
Doesn't actually specify.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to guess that since this is a furry, they're probably gay.
That's terrible. You shouldn't do that.
Okay, so person of indeterminate gender.
I will accept.
And dude with dude from Austin. You know, it just, you know, if you go this far, if you talk to him on the phone, deem him safe to come say hi, and he travels, this is something that you're going to need to be really, really upfront and truthful and honest with your mom about, because there are so many things that could go wrong with him showing up and stuff that, you know, it could not necessarily, like, you know, end up with this guy from Austin in jail or anything, but it could end up with a huge family schism, and you don't want that. You just don't.
Besides, man, furries from Texas are douches. I'd just take him with a grain of salt because of that.
Excuse me, what'd you say?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
What did you say?
I said nothing.
What did you say?
I said something about Texas furs being awesome.
I think you specifically said male Texas furs are douchebags. Assholes or something.
But I would never make such a broad, sexist, regional stereotype.
I believe you just did.
So, I mean, I'm fully aware that I could be talking on my ass on this. But this, to me, sounds like a really creepy thing that if you go ahead with, you need to be 100% full disclosure with your mom about.
Definitely.
Agreed. Now, excuse me. Really?
Play nice, kids.
Really?
Maybe.
Now, do you mean all furry men from Texas?
Oh, every single one. I mean, I haven't met a single decent man who's in the fandom in this state. And well, I've tried. I mean, I have played that field in all of them.
Well, let me perpetuate the stereotype, you raging thunder cunt.
Well, that's going to make certain things awkward. I'm going to have to do some editing this week.
Oh, no. I like as long as the bitch ain't going to run me over with her car, I am fine.
I only tried that once. Just once. Jeez. Along with the douchebag, they never forget.
Yeah, you're going to hit me with a car and call me a douchebag. I barely know you.
Well, I don't have to know you.
Damn, you are. I'm about to break out some Kanye or something because you're a heartless bitch.
I try.
Also, for a gay man, that's the only kind of woman to keep around. So.
Okay.
Then I'm in the right crowd, is what you're saying.
Congratulations, sweetie. You have found your calling.
I have my purpose in life. Oh, sweet Jesus.
So, who read that email?
That was her.
That would be the next one. Would be words of advice on relationship support.
All right. Hello, Notcast. I am writing to ask for your advice on something I believe is plaguing many furry couples today. Where are your children? Tonight at 10. All right. My mate lost his job in December, and we decided it was best if he moved out of his apartment and moved in with me. Oh, this sounds extremely fucking familiar. My question is this. How would you support your mate if he or she lost their job and was having difficulty finding another one? No small task in this economy. I don't mean financial support. I mean the emotional kind. After several months of filling out applications, he's beginning to feel useless and a burden, as he's not able to contribute the way he feels he needs to. I tell him that it's not his fault, there's no jobs out there, and that as long as he's doing everything within his ability to solve this, I will always be there for him. Looking forward to hearing from you, Anonymous. Okay, well, I was the perfect person to read this, because we recently went through this. Sarah had a, as I said earlier, craptastic job. But a job is a job. A job is a job is a job is a job when you don't have a job. So, I'm assuming that you're younger at least, in your 20s. That's just kind of the target audience for this show. So 20s and 20 to 30 year old furries. So, anyway, I think it was back in 2008. Sarah had, you know, a pretty dead end job, and you know it was fast food basically, and well, not fast food. It was kind of an okay barbecue restaurant, and then the real estate crash hit, and shit went to hell with his parents. Not their relationship, but you know, the
financials.
Yeah, couldn't really sit there and pay for his college scholarship, dried up. So it was just like, what the fuck was he going to do? And I was living with my aunt at the time just to save money. Well, that didn't happen because we decided to get an apartment with a couple of friends, and things started working out a lot better. But in all honesty, his self-esteem throughout the years has just been crap. He has watched me go to school and advance my career. I mean, I've got my associates at this point, and I plan to go further once I decide what the hell I'm going to do beyond my current career. You know, and I've actually got a career where I've utilized my degree, and I've utilized my certifications and all this other stuff. In the meantime, he sat there and watched me do all that and him working at a sandwich shop afterwards. You know, and then at a dong shop. Yeah. And I'm just telling you right now, he no longer is doing that. He's, you know, I can understand, like, in Saverin's case, you're going to school.
Yeah, I'm finishing
you're not,
up, like,
you're not
in,
sitting
like,
around being a worthless fuck.
Oh, shit. I keep and, this shit running.
Yeah. But, you know, and I'm sure you're, to the writer here, your boyfriend is not sitting around being a worthless fuck. As long as a true attempt is out there to do something to better the situation, then it's okay. As long as he is really actually trying his damnedest to do his part, then it is okay. Because Sarah had the same thing going. And guess what? After time, look what happened. He now works, he's not on the same level I am at the same company I work for. But, he's working there. It's a step towards a career. And it took time for him to finally get a good job, a good, meaningful job with advancement opportunity. And we've been together for 5 years this summer, and he's just now gotten to that point. And so I guess my message to you is just tell your boyfriend that he's not worthless. You love him to death. And this is part of growing up and getting older. You have to go through these experiences. You have to have things happen to you in life. It's what builds character. It's what builds your history as a person. So it's okay. And, I've been exactly where you're at with my mate, and everything has turned out to be okay. So just make it through it, be good to each other, and keep his self-esteem up as much as you can, and everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now from somebody who's sort of in your boyfriend's position. So I'm the kind of person who I grew up really poor. My parents couldn't really afford to help me with my college. And everything I've done with it, I've paid out of my own pocket. No government assistance, no loans. So it's been extremely slow going. I've held numerous shitty jobs, but I was homeschooled. So that really limited my college entrance opportunities and my scholarship opportunities. So again, I got kind of double screwed there. But, I'm working my way forward, but I've had just no luck with jobs. Working shitty places here, shitty places there. For a while there, I was working as a dog groomer. That was the most soul-crushing, hateful, minimum-wage death job. And it really... my friends, I had a friend sit down and have a come-to-Jesus talk with me. He's like, dude, you're a cunt. Stop it. You need to quit that job. $6 an hour ain't worth shit that you're putting your mate and your friends through because you hate your job so much. I'm like, that's right. And, I went through that time, where I felt like a useless piece of shit that, I wasn't contributing enough. I was, keeping house, doing laundry, doing this, doing that, but I didn't feel like I was contributing enough. And over the last little bit, I've gone full time to school. I'm like millimeters away from getting my degree, and it's a little 2-year degree, but you know what? That's a lot better than what I got, which is fuck all. And, will help me get a real job. And I hope. And now I'm finally nearing the point where I've buckled down and gone, so hardcore into this. I'm almost done, and I'll be able to hopefully find a job. And, with Panther's new job, we're good. But once I'm able to get a job, we're going to be those guys, the dual income, no kids, spends, money on a vacation kind of guys. And that's been our goal all along. So, what you're mate can do is like set a goal. It's like, what do you want for yourselves? It's good that you're spreading him support, and when he gets a job, I'm sure y'all will be able to get your shit together. But set a goal that you can be those guys. You can be the dual income, no kids. Because right now the job market sucks. Hopefully it's gonna get better. I don't know, I'm no wizard, but support him and let him help him understand that even if he's not has a job, he can fulfill an important role around the house, that he can keep house, that he can do laundry, dishes and stuff, be the housewife while he's in between jobs. I got the hiccups. Because even there you can find some fulfillment. I'm not saying that that's what you want to do forever, but it's something that he could do for a short term while he's still looking for a job and can still feel useful to the household.
Housewife is a crazy, crazy undervalued position. I know I've got a couple of friends who are... I've got at least one friend in particular who's acting as a housewife, and the ability to get out and feel useful is really, really huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's, doing the dishes, doing the shopping, doing the laundry, keeping the house... we live like bachelors occasionally, and we're, not the most fastidious of people, but I keep shit running. And, you know, if Panther says, you know, I really would like to find a copy. I think you could find that for me? I'll find that. You fucking believe me. You know? And it keeps things going around the house. All he has to do is, you know, I'll even cook him a steak dinner if he wants when he comes home. I like cooking steak. It's good stuff. You know? So, you know, while he's in between jobs, maybe he can do that for you. And not to be like, you know, find so that he can maybe find value in it while he's trying to find a job and not feel like a useless lump of flesh, which he's not. But, you know, just give him something to do.
All right.
So next email is me.
A wall of text.
No, not really.
Which one?
The door 1, 2, or 3.
Yep. I guess it looks like that on the iPad, though.
Yeah, this is not really that much. Dear Notcast, hey again from the crazy fox with the crap history from Wisconsin. Yay, cheese!
I was just there.
First off, may the cat of hate rest well, and the hate on all the meals and wheels in heaven. If you don't get it, it's a bad joke that was told by a preacher once. My son roller skates. Cat goes to heaven. You should get it now. With my on topic, I covered that in my last episode, dealing with the party and drinking and pegging. Yeah, that wasn't fun. Anyways, I used to be like, oh yeah, poly is great, it's just as long as people involved can be mature about it and jealousy doesn't grow. Well, guess what? I'm getting kicked because one of the three believes I clash with them. I've only ever been nice to both of them, and I love them both. The second corner of the triangle wants to keep me as a pet, except from the other corner. I'm pretty fucked up with this because this came out of nowhere and what's really gotten me in a funk. So what did I do to earn this kick to the curb? I had personal problems and started drinking. They brought it to my attention. I've been sober for 4 months now. I didn't cheat on them, and I haven't been looking to cheat on them. But still, I get the boot up the ass, and it's not a nice one. It's all spiky with no lube. C. Frowny face. So, the one who wants me out is teasing me, saying that he needs time to think it over. And I still went in to tell him. I scrolled off the email. And if I still went in to tell him, which I tell him every fucking day. So my choice is to take this and be a whiny bitch about it, man up, and find someone else, or ride into a relationship podcast hosted by three crazy guys in Texas and a woman just as loopy. Not to be offensive, you guys and gal are the good kind of crazy that helps make us listeners laugh. If Fuzz gets this, I can't wait for Easter. If Steve gets this, your words are beautiful, like your tongue is a dragon and your teeth are sets of stairs. The way you trip each other up puts a smile on my face every time. Ricky, good job. You made him pregnant. And Saverin, you might want to duck. I see a doorknob in your future.
Oh, I think he saw like Sarah's impreg picture. Lovely.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for the laugh, Red. Oh, and on a side note, I changed over my fursona. This is the last email you'll be getting with this little ball of string. I now roll as a big black draft horse, easily twice my size, reason being I've always liked horses, and the one who wants me as a pet claims I'm hung like a horse. I'll let you have fun with that. Catch you later. Almost forgot. More info is needed. I'm the odd man out. They both live in NC, and I was planning on moving there too once I have a decent job going. Well, now first transfers, which should be by autumn in time for year 2, which looks like it won't be happening. Way to spoil my anniversary gift, douchebags.
Oh, my God. Can I have the asshole baton back?
Okay, there you go.
Thank you. All right. Get the fuck out of that. There are relationships like that that work, and then there are relationships like that that don't work. That's just my opinion. Talking about polys, right?
Yeah.
For one, I was in one when I was 16, 17. Yeah, 17. And that was one of the dumbest things I have ever done in my entire life because it was just heartbreaking. Basically, me and this other guy, we were the assholes. Me and this other guy liked each other and we just wanted to have an excuse to
fuck around.
And
you wanted the secret butt fun
and love each other, and so it wouldn't be technically cheating with this other dude who he's dead now, so I don't mind talking about it. But anyway, yeah, I'm a classy motherfucker. it was the worst thing I have ever done in my life. It was the most heartbreaking thing I've ever been through in my life, and it caused 3 years of just fuckery for my emotions. And I'm kind of seeing those guys be the assholes. If they're doing that to you, dude, you're just a toy. You are just a toy. You are a side thing. You are a plaything. You are there at their convenience. And no, you, this thing will not work if someone's already keeping you in one corner but not letting you go to the other corner. And they start dropping shit like, oh, that's my pet and stuff like that. Run the fuck on.
Like, bitch, please.
Shiva's relationship is the only one like that I have ever seen that works.
And, I mean, the fact that this is already, like, they're both in one state and you're distant.
Oh, God, that's even worse.
You're like... There's like the third, the you know, the short
you,
leg.
You ain't even the third wheel. You're the fucking spare tire in the back.
The boot.
Yes.
As, you know, a foreigner would say. One of them dirty foreigners.
I'm not a goddamn foreigner, so.
I heard you're bilingual. You speak American and English.
Oh, stupid bitch. I'll have to tell that story.
You can tell the story later.
After this email is done.
Yeah, dude, sorry. This sounds like some fucked up shit. I know you like, you may like that one dude, but the other guy is keeping you at the, you know, a stick length away.
This is a clear cut case of get the fuck out.
Sounds like he's toying with you too, and that's never, ever, ever.
I mean, you got this other dude that, once she was a pet, honestly, whatever. Fucking furries. You know, this other dude that likes you says you're hung like a horse and, you know, is more interested in you, well, more interested in your junk, but. That's still probably a little bit better than being in a pseudo relationship that doesn't, that has the guy in control keeping you far and away from anything actionable. So, I mean, honestly, get the fuck out. This is a pretty clear cut example of like, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your emotional energy. There are so many better options out there than the potential for. You know, maybe being with these two people, one of whom doesn't like you, maybe a year in advance in the future, maybe.
Giant Horse has left the server. That's exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah. Sorry, bro. All so right, what was that? What was that story?
That I'll make this brief. back in 2007, when I was starting to go to school for my current job, working at the same company, I was working in the same office that Sarah and Fuzz and whatnot work in. And, yeah, there was a recent hiring round and, you know, with any company, they hire a group of people and then natural selection happens. Well, this natural selection did not happen quick enough. Ugh. This person, I don't know how they got that job, much less graduated fucking high school. So anyway, I come in early one morning and I'm getting set up in my desk and there's a bunch of girls, talking around in our general cubicle area about American Idol. Oh, I'm not going to say my real name. I should say Recky. Recky, what did you, who did you vote for on American Idol last night? And I'm just like, I don't watch American Idol. You would have thought that I committed an atrocity by saying that. Well, what do you watch? I was like, I really don't watch TV that much. I said, well, I occasionally watch Doctor Who. And they asked me what that was. Fair enough. You know, not a lot of Americans know what the hell Doctor Who is, although it's getting popular now. I said, well, it's a British sci-fi show. You can speak two languages? Oh, my. And I looked at her with the... I mean, if looks could kill, I would have shot that bitch out the skyscraper and her ass would have gone 30 feet under the fucking ground of downtown Dallas. I mean, it would have just been... She would have cooked on the way down. That's how much of a you dumb cunt look that I gave her. And I said, they speak English in Britain because, you know, Britain, England, founding fathers of the United States, that kind of thing. Bullshit you should have learned in high school. Yeah. Yeah, we've got some dumbass motherfuckers in this country. Thankfully, the company I work for doesn't keep their asses around very long. So, yeah. Apparently, people in England don't speak English, according to this one dumb bitch. So, anyway, I guess it's Webster's turn.
Should I go for the off-topic, off-topic, on-topic?
Off-topic, but you guys are gonna love this.
Yes, this is, I think I had one email after this, and I need to find it. Oh, because I had somebody ask me about it last week. Yes, please read.
Sure. Well... If sudden events had physical force, my brains would be spluttered all over the hallways of my school. Now, permit me to explain that sentence. The other day, something quite unexpected happened. I have a friend, let's call him C for now, who until recently I've had a pretty loose friendship with. Now the other day, he came up to me and out of the blue asked me out. I really didn't know how to take it. He's cute in a scruffy kind of way, and as far as I know, a nice guy. He's given me lunch a couple times. And if I'm ever going to date guys chiefly, I'm gonna have to start somewhere. However, neither of us has been in a relationship with another guy before, so we're both kind of nervous about the whole thing. We've already established that we're both interested in exploring our sexuality, but thing is, we don't really know each other well. Before we start really getting into things, I offered for us to just work out a day to hang out, play video games, find out a little about each other, and C thought that was a good idea. Question is that a good idea? I've always been the asker when it comes to the dating, not the askee. I've been approaching the whole thing with the no-risk, no-reward attitude and the knowledge that if I'm going to date my own gender, I'm going to have to start somewhere. I think C would be a good opportunity because we'll both be learning as we go. But I want to know what you guys think. Did I make the right move wanting to get to know him more first, or did I jump in too willy-nilly? Thanks for the podcast. Hopefully my drama llamas will settle down and I won't have to email you guys every other freaking week. That was in italics. Thanks again, Ravenwood.
Nah, dude. You sounds like you're doing it right.
Yeah, if you guys are taking it slow and just kind of, you know, going with the flow with it, with the understanding that this is an experiment at first, it'd be fine.
I mean, hey, you know, you should feel pretty cool that somebody else was like, hey, you want to go out?
Yeah.
That should be nicely ego-stroking.
And hey, I'm Sarah's first boyfriend, and we're about to celebrate 5 years, so anything can happen. Just have faith. Yep. All right, so if you don't find it in the next 5 seconds, we're moving on.
I cannot believe that I like
dos
forgot.
Tres, cuatro,
fuck.
Cinco. All right, Sabrin has failed to locate this email. So we're gonna
person. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, there's always next fucking week.
Yep.
Or you can find it and reply to it personally.
Yeah.
So
I was just like I went up right on the show and I was like, yeah, it's pretty. It was one of those walls of text that we had to cut for time last week.
Vidya Games.
So okay, this is where we're gonna stick a fake little good night and big balls because we are going to spend the next portion of the show talking about Vidya Games.
So all right.
Let me stop and save the file after this. So yes, fake good night
and big balls.
Space.
Vidya Games begin.
Okay, now this next sound you hear is going to be a spoiler warning. If you don't want to hear spoilers about Portal 2 or Mortal Kombat or any other number of video games that we're going to discuss in the next, 15, 20 minutes or so, please stop once you hear the... Okay.
All right.
And we are back. I had to get someone to send me the link for that because I couldn't find it. I was like, fuck, it's space, but how many A's? Yes, we got a one up there. Okay, so, man, last couple weeks in video games, fucking awesome. Portal 2, Mortal Kombat 9, other stuff. Potato Sack, ARG. And coins. So, Portal 2 came out. It's awesome. Fucking amazing. 4.5 hours, unfortunately. But that's cool, because I'm playing through it twice.
Yeah, that game has ridiculous replay value, and you also played the shit out of it, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
I'm sorry. Like, that game is so fulfilling, Portal 2 is. It just, I loved every moment of it.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to see the next thing. So the first time, I admit, I kind of rushed through it. I didn't find the Ratman rooms. I didn't get the achievements. I finished the game, and that totally fucking happened. I love that achievement, and I love the scene that plays out that you get the achievement in. But now I'm on my second playthrough, trying to get as many achievements as I can. You know, the conservation of mass one, where she's like, oh, that one was going to say, I love you. So, yeah, we did say there's going to be spoilers. So, you know, finding the portrait of the lady and the dry dock of the Borealis and all the various little nods to Half-Life 3 or the Half-Life series.
Yeah.
When Cave Johnson, when life gives Cave Johnson lemons, you demand to see life's manager. So yeah,
it was.
I mean, even like Tyrion loved it.
Gladys with her, it's a bird, it's evil, kill it.
Or, oh, good, that got in there. My slow cap mechanism, my slow clap program.
I like the, what was it? sarcasm filter online. Oh, good, that's working.
Yes, it's a hell of a game.
It now, is. I would definitely give it a. I mean, I'm not a professional.
Giving it a fucking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I would give it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Now, then, of course, there's the hats. Oh my god, the fact that people got mad about hats. Okay, so you've played the multiplayer, right?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, so you've played. Do you have it on Steam or do you have it on PS3?
Steam.
Okay, so there's the robot improvement. There's actually a hat store for your robots for the multiplayer.
Yeah, robot enrichment.
And they sell hats, they sell gestures. It adds nothing to the game, detracts nothing from the game. And people went apeshit over it.
See, why the fuck you would get upset about DLC that has no bearing on the game that you do not have to buy, I have no idea.
I mean,
it's a kill yourself thing.
I think the best way to look at it, I mean, it adds nothing, but it gives money to Valve to help them to continue to make better stuff.
Yeah.
And if you want to basically donate money to Valve and get a hat, then I guess you can do that.
Yeah.
I personally, I'm not going to buy a top hat for a robot. That's dumb. I'm never going to buy money on the Man Company store in Team Fortress 2, even though I play the shit out of it.
Well, it's just you know, I don't hear these same people bitching about DLC in console games.
You know, $15 for three maps or whatever and blops. Blops.
You know, Jesus, let me not even begin on Namco Bandai's fucking DLC bullshit they've got going on. What was it? Soul Calibur 4. It was like $5 on the Xbox version to unlock. Darth Vader, and then $5 on the PS3 version to unlock Yoda, and that was on disc content.
Oh well, that's like Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I got the collector's edition because it was shiny, and I said earlier in the show that I like shinies. But there was information on disc of the two characters, Jill and Shin Megorath. That was $5 each to download.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of lame. I've not even logged in on Xbox to download them yet. I really ought to do that before the inevitable expiration date on that. But it's one of those things that when it's that kind of shit, or the beautiful Katamari stages, there were 400 Microsoft banana dollars each that were on disc content that was just locked. And all they added was one stage for 400 points.
That was that's Namco for you.
You know,
I mean, apparently Capcom seems to be doing the same thing. But I mean, a lot of people have been calling them Namco scam buy. You know,
Just it's like Microsoft and spelling it with a dollar sign.
But you know, calling them scam buy is
well, I mean,
it is a scam. You know, so call them what you want.
I mean, even if you don't like, I mean, I can understand when people don't like. Certain DLCs are bullshit. Certain other DLCs aren't.
Right.
Purchasing hats and weapon drops in Team Fortress 2, kind of not bullshit. You can pretty much get whatever you want.
It's no bearing on the game.
You know, the weapons are not necessarily superior. They're situational. If I'm playing a heavy and I'm in defense mode, I'm going to use the one that does extra damage, but I don't have to move. If I'm advancing, I'm going to use something else. If I'm doing something else, I'll use a different one. There's three different guns to pick from. Actually, four. I don't have the fourth one yet. But it's not game-breaking that I don't have that fourth gun. And the fact that they don't charge, you know, anything to place on, to, you know, have servers and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really that big a deal.
Well, it's like, I subscribe to PlayStation Plus, Xbox Live, You know, and I use Steam and all that. So, I mean, I do enjoy online content from, video game companies. Now, I heard you say, oh, when I said PlayStation Plus.
Oh, I was going to say, oh, we can talk about that, too.
Yeah, the PlayStation Plus is actually a really good service. And the reason I say that is because I've gotten free, meaningful content that has actually, if I were to have actually purchased this content outside of PlayStation Plus, it would have been more expensive than PlayStation Plus. So it really is a, you know, little premium thing that Sony does that they actually do give back through it. I mean, just occasionally you'll find a good PS1 game that is just usually $10, absolutely free. Usually like $7, $2, you know. And these are good games, you know, and there's a lot of exclusive content. You get demos early and shit like that other systems don't, you know. It really did pay back. It was pretty nice.
That's with my, you know, Xbox Live, you get access to the demos immediately. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it is kind of shitty that they don't give it immediately. They don't have demos available for everybody, but it's an incentive.
Yeah, plus, and they've got to have some way to sell the service, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if I owned it, I would try to use that as a marketing tool just because it makes good business sense.
Plus, I got got Netflix on it.
It's fucking $10 a month. It's not like it's anti-consumer or anything.
Well, it's not even 10 bucks a month. It's like, it's $50 for a year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you paid month to month or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Same for PS Plus, I mean.
Yeah. PS Plus is a little bit cheaper, but,
yeah. Know. I mean, hell, people play for MMOs, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's WoW, and
I don't pay that anymore, but, you know.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert, you know, if the Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3 storylines are spoilers to you and you don't want to hear it, then...
What rock have you been living under?
Yeah, that, kindly fuck off.
There's dudes that fight.
Mortal Kombat has a storyline?
Actually, the new game tells it brilliantly in wonderful cinematics. And you actually care about the characters now. You're looking at me weird, but I don't blame you, but it's true.
I'm suspicious, but I will take your
gaming. So, Mortal Kombat has been rebooted on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, and Warner Brothers did a spectacular job. I mean, if I'm going to give the game an overall rating, I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10, which for a fighting game coming from me, that might as well be an 11 out of 10. Because, for one, I hate the fighting genre. I hate fighting game fans, and it's Mortal Kombat, which has sucked in the past decade. So, basically, this new game, the fighting style is 2D, but a beautifully 3D game. They brought back everything about the game mechanics that made the first games fun. There's very little that I've noticed is breakable in it. I'm sure that the hardcore fighting fans will get on Xbox Live and PSN and ruin the whole fucking thing for everybody. But, yeah. You know, that's what they do with every game because they're useless cunts.
Well, see, what's great about the games today, though, is they're easily patchable via the same systems that they used to play them. Yeah,
typically with fighting games, they don't do that. They actually have been. Really?
Like with Marvel, they've patched it at least 3 times.
Oh, to fix?
To fix bugs and glitches that people have found. And NetherRealm's doing the same thing with 9.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Warner Brothers buying all those Midway properties was the best thing to happen to that company because, honestly, they took the Mortal Kombat team, gave them this budget, and they pumped out, and they brought it back. Mortal Kombat is fucking back. Everything I enjoyed in the 90s as a kid, I feel like I'm that kid playing that series again. That never fucking happens. You know, we grew up with Sega Genesis, Super NES, regular Nintendo, N64, PlayStation.
I had the lame as fuck sweat version of Mortal Kombat. Man.
Oh, the original SNES version?
Yeah.
But seriously, we grew up with those consoles. We remember playing games like Final Fantasy VII, Super Mario 3, Super Mario 64, Legend of Zelda, the old Mortal Kombat games, Donkey Kong, all that shit original that made such an impression on us when we were younger. This is one of the first games that I've played in so long that actually went back to this old series, brought it to the current generation, and I felt like a kid again. I shouldn't be playing Mortal Kombat as a kid, but I did anyway under my mom's nose.
So did I.
But seriously, fucking awesome game. The cinematics are brilliant. The characters actually are meaningful now. They don't you know, fuck with the original storyline too much if you, you know, unless if you were one of those people that sat there through the credits to actually read the storylines and whatnot. But seriously, and it was, I mean, it for those of you who've played the games over time but really never understood what the actual storyline was, they made it meaningful and interesting. I mean, seriously, if you want to try it, rent it, download the demo, something, you know, go to a friend's house who has it, try it. I suggest buying the game. If you like, you know, if you like fighting games, go ahead and buy the game. You probably already have. But if you're looking for a good, fun game with awesome storytelling properties to it, Mortal fucking Kombat is back.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Mortal Kombat has never been a franchise that I've been really heavily into. I mean, I played it, but I was never good at it. And I always had friends of mine that were way better and always beat me. So I was, you know, it never was my favorite. Street Fighter, I've played for a long time. I like that because I can win. Marvel, I can play that. I can win. I was never a big fan of Mortal Kombat, but I would definitely give this one a shot.
Well, come over and play it. I mean, seriously, because I like Mortal Kombat's quality stopped at Mortal Kombat Trilogy on PlayStation and Dreamcast and N64.
Yeah, the 3D ones were goofy as fuck.
Mortal Kombat 4 was ass. It was. It was ass. It was goofy.
MK versus DC Universe was just weird.
It was okay, but I'm glad they went away from 3D. The only 3D Mortal Kombat game that was any good was Deadly Alliance. And after that, they just tried too much bullshit that was getting repetitive and boring. And the story was... They weren't telling the stories very well.
Yeah.
But,
I mean...
They're going to make a sequel because this one ended with the beginning of 4.
I was extremely amused. The one of Shang Tsung's fatalities is he turns into a clown and does Joker's fatality from MK versus DC Universe. Same animation set.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Instead of the Joker doing it, it's Shang Tsung turning into this creepy ass clown, pulls out the gun, pop, giggles, pulls out a real gun, caps you in the head.
That's fucking awesome.
I was on Shuriken.com the other day. I watch a lot of videos and stuff off that. In case y'all didn't know, I like fighting games. And they had a compilation video, and I was like, that's badass. That's kind of goofy. You know, watching the fatalities, like the one where the guy rips out the character's heart, pulls off their head, and stuffs their head inside the chest cavity. I mean, it's over the top, goofy as fuck Mortal Kombat at its most ludicrous. And but the one with Joker, the one that is Joker's fatality from MK vs. DC Universe, I thought was pretty funny. Plus, you know, it has Kratos in it, so you're pretty happy.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, see?
That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, his two fatalities are pretty sweet. The other one where he like goes in your body and makes you pull off your own head.
Yes,
it's very Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, the fatalities have just been ridiculous and amazing. Kratos is actually really fun because you get some quick time event moves and whatnot, and then you know his fatalities are just brutal. And his appearance and character pretty much fit to the.
He looks like Quan Chi's clone.
He looks like a medieval Quan Chi, as weird as I can say that. So, Mortal Kombat's great. We've nailed that in the head. Yes. So,
beyond that, I've been giving Valve a lot of dosh lately. So, I mean, they got lots of my money. Loads of money.
Yep.
With the Potato Sack and Portal and, oh my god, Borderlands Game of the Year Edition. $750.
Yeah.
For the game and all of its DLC. Sarah, holy shit, I love their sales. Hell, they had the freaking 2-day back-to-backs of getting GTA 1 through San Andreas and then 4 with the complete collection for $750 each. Two separate days. I mean, and I played the shit out of San Andreas and 4, so I didn't need to buy them, obviously, but I was like, wow, that's a hell of a deal. I love Valve.
What was it? Sarah and I both recently bought 3DS, and you know I've heard a lot of people saying 3D blah blah blah. Yeah, I say whatever to the 3D. I'm actually indifferent to the 3D functionality of it. Some games it's really cool, and then other games it gets irritating. Honestly, you can turn it off, and you still have a brand new DS with a bigger screen, better, you know, guts under the hood. It's faster. It's a lot more beautiful. It's a sexier piece of hardware. It has so much more to offer than the DSi or the DSi XL or the DS Lite. I do believe once Nintendo lowers the price, it will start being a little more lucrative. Right now, it takes them $101 and some change to manufacture the damn thing, and they're selling it for $250, which is a ripoff. So, honestly, in typical Nintendo fashion, I'm calling it now, there's going to be a massive price drop before Christmas. They're going to push a shitload of product out onto the shelves, and it's going to clear the fuck out. That's exactly what they do, and I know that's exactly what they're going to do.
So, wasn't it... I was going to say, hey, what else coming? Oh, yeah, Duke Nukem Forever, but they pushed that back.
Funny enough.
I know.
It's going to take for fucking ever to release. Now, that you know, those guys who have it now are over in Plano, so we can go beat their ass.
Yes, now. Yes. Gearbox is a cool company, but not Gearbox, it's 2K.
Gearbox is published by 2K.
Right. Okay, so yes, they are in Plano, and we could burn down their offices.
Okay, I was talking about just going and beating the asses. We don't need to go burn somebody's shit down. Zap was proposing going over to Garland, where the old ID Software was. No.
3D Realms?
Yeah, 3D Realms was. ID Software is actually in Mesquite over here. But yeah, going over to the old 3D Realms office in Garland and egging the fucking building. Because that's who originally had Duke Nukem.
To be fair, it's Duke Nukem Forever. Would they actually be honoring its tradition if they actually put it out on time?
Well, considering it's 12 years late.
I guess, you know, we've waited this fucking long.
Yeah, you know.
What's another 12 years?
You know, I have the Borderlands goatee. You know, the moment they have the demo out, I'm going to play the shit out of it.
Yep.
And I'll probably buy it just for nostalgia's sake. It probably won't be as amazing as it should be, but it's been out coming in 12 years. It's not going to be as amazing as anybody could hope it to be, just because it has that high of a bar to cross. Beyond that, man, that whole thing with Sony, that sucks.
Okay, so here's a funny Twitter account to follow. At @fake_PSN. It's kind of like the whole, BP oil spill fake account, the BP relations or whatever. So, anyway, so basically here's what happened. I'm sure those of you who are gamers know. Last week, around the 17th or the 18th, Sony suffered a massive intrusion into their network, and apparently, and anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, apparently the hack was performed with modified PS3s that were posing as like developer systems or whatnot, and they just cleaned house. And the Sony was pretty much late to the game, coming back 2 days ago, saying that credit card numbers might have been compromised. When I heard that, I immediately went out and called Chase and killed my debit card. I was just like, I'm not even going to wait around for that bullshit. And, I've already got a new one. And, you know, if anyone has my old credit card number, good for them. It's fucking broke. So, anyway, I highly suggest that if you are subscribed to PlayStation Network and you have a credit card or a debit card attached to your account, get fucking rid of that card and get a new one.
CYA.
Yeah, and if I haven't heard any reports of anyone getting hit by it yet, but if your credit card or debit card has been hit by it, get a credit report, put out a fraud alert on your card, put out a fraud alert on your credit, because, you know, that's just bad shit and you should have acted as soon as you heard that. But in any case, it's really bad PR for Sony. I don't think this is the worst security breach that's ever happened in video game history. There's no hands. I mean, that's hands down. There's no arguing about that. As far as things being shitty for the consumer, well, Microsoft and Sony pretty much share the lead on that. You know, they've had this whole issue with the PlayStation 3 is absolutely dreadful. Microsoft was kind of a smartass about it last week when they were saying, you know, basically trying to say, hey, if you own both systems, stop playing online with your PlayStation, even if it comes back up, play Xbox Live.
I thought the most amusing part during that particular, they were doing an over the Easter promotion where you could play online for free.
Yeah.
That was like, wow, that's awfully convenient. Not to say that anybody from Microsoft would be behind it. I'm just saying that, wow, it's awfully favorable for Microsoft that PSN goes down the same weekend they're doing a free to play.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like you're actually paying to play online with the PlayStation Network, so it's not really a huge loss. The loss comes to people who bought Portal 2 for PlayStation 3 that didn't redeem it in time and connect their Steam accounts to it to redeem their Mac or PC versions of Portal 2. Those people got boned. I got boned downloading my free DLC that came with my special edition of Mortal Kombat. You know, that kind of shit sucks. People that want to use Hulu Plus on their PlayStation 3, like me, got boned. People who want to use Netflix, that's occasionally working, but mostly you're getting boned. People who want to use Vudu, you're getting boned. You know, any service you were using on the PlayStation 3, you're boned. So, Sony needs to get this shit back up pretty quick, because this is just unacceptable nonsense.
It's redonkulous.
So.
So, yeah, well... What else? I'm sure that if there's anybody listening to this person, they're probably like, Portal and Mortal Kombat. God, how mainstream.
Yes.
You know, well, we're not playing, you know, obscure indie titles right now.
Fuck
sorry.
Indie games.
I need to remember to go out and pre-order Catherine.
Yeah.
Sluts. Oh my God.
That game looks fucked up and awesome.
I actually saw an article on that today that there's going to be two different versions of the art, of box art. Since there's a version for the 360 and the version PS3, they have Catherine and Catherine, the two different Catherines, one with the K, one with the C, and they're all sultrily posed and whatever. But there's going to be a version for sensitive markets, that is to say Walmart, that has them much more zoomed in and they don't have the cleavage or whatever. Isn't that sad?
That is sad.
So where should
United
I pre-order
States.
It not to get that copy?
Probably GameStop.
GameStop,
because you want tits.
Best Buy will have it.
I'm all about the tits.
I know.
Pretty much,
right?
Walmart, Toys R Us, those places will have the toned down version.
Yeah, probably. The fact that Walmart or Toys R Us would even carry the title makes me go, what?
Well, I remember back.
I mean,
in,
it is Atlas.
Back
nobody
in the,
carries Atlas.
N64 days. Toys R Us refused to carry Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Until it did.
It actually went through and did?
Oh, dude, I worked there when they did. I worked there in the twilight days of the N64, and that was all we had left, and it was marked for $5.20. And I sold... I had a woman come up and purchase a copy for her... What she said was her son, and I told her, no, ma'am, this is a very adult title. You do not want this. It says, no one under 17, right there on the box. I was like, I really don't think you should buy this. And she was like, I know what I'm going to buy for my kid. It's a cute game with a squirrel on the cover. And I'm like, all right, ma'am. You know, we have a very lenient return policy. And a few hours later, she was back. And my manager was like, why did you let her buy this? I'm like, I fucking told her. You know, I told her. It says right there on the box. She didn't believe me. She said it was a squirrel in the game. As if
yeah,
she didn't...
The people can't expect the...
Yeah,
you know, parents to
pay
watch
attention.
Their children, so the government has to do it.
Yeah, but
and the retailers, they're the ones.
Toys R Us did
this.
Eventually carry it in very small quantities in the twilight years of N64. So other than that,
I remember at launch there was this big deal that they weren't going to carry it. Whatever.
I remember giving parental warnings on the Yu-Gi-Oh! Manga.
Yeah.
People came in. Yeah, my 6-year-old loves this show. It's like, you don't want him reading this manga.
You don't want to read the Yu-Gi-Oh! Manga if you're a kid. Yeah.
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Kills people. Wow.
I remember...
Sets them on fire.
Yes.
I was like 13 and
if you don't play this game, I will flick the lighter and the alcohol in your lap will catch fire. What? That was like the third one.
And if you do play this game, I'm going to flick the lighter.
Oh, man, that was a fucked up manga.
Oh, it was.
When I was 13, I was in school. And
that was in the earliest of the Shonen Jumps, too.
Yeah.
I used to read that back in the day.
I had, like, a little Pokemon thing in my binder or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And my math teacher was just like...
That's evil. Well,
I don't let my son watch Pokemon because it's satanic, but I don't mind him watching Digimon. And I looked at her, I said, okay, forget the whole vampire Digimon thing dying on a pentagram. What?
Yeah.
Needless to say, I think I screwed that kid pretty bad.
Yeah. Don't be dumb cunt parents. Find out what your kids like and approve it or disapprove it.
Yep.
But don't just, like, randomly disprove shit or disallow shit because you don't like the idea.
I have a sister who is... She's probably one of the dumbest people I know. I love her, but she is just a knee-jerk, you know, conservative fucking conspiracy bitch, you know. This is the same sister who, you know, currently she's not talking to my parents or any of us because she cheated on her husband twice and she's too ashamed. But anyway, right when Obama got elected, she sent a fucking text message. It was an MMS with a picture of Obama, you know, with a, you know, fucking menthol cigarette, KFC, buckets of chicken and some watermelon to my dad's company phone. And I was just like, you dumb slut, do not do that. But when I was younger, I was... you know, this was in the heyday of Napster. I downloaded the Digimon theme song, and I was playing it, you know, and she was just like, my kids are in this house right now. You do not be playing that satanic garbage around here. I was like 14. I said, shut the fuck up, you know?
And then you turn it up.
I did. And she's like, well, I'm going to tell Mom. Mom was like, shut the fuck up.
Just tell her Obama likes breathing and not opening his mouth underwater.
You know what? Fuck her and her, you know, nicotine-laced, disgusting animal feces double wide out in the pits of East Texas. That's how I feel.
Yeah. So before we just, you know, veer off into politics and hating our extended family.
Yes.
Because we could do that for a while, too, but we really ought not to.
Yes. Well, it was related. She was...
Extended family.
Yeah, you could contribute, and I could contribute, and I'm sure Rick has lots to contribute.
I do. My family's fucked up.
But this is not the time.
Yes. It was related to the video games and the Digimons and whatnot.
But, you know, thankfully my parents never... They were like, you know, this is rated M. Are you sure you should play this? I'm like, yeah, it's a shooting game. You kill aliens. Are you sure you should play this?
Their green blood goes everywhere. I'm sorry.
And I was like, yes, I think I should play this because it is a video game. I will not take a crowbar and go kill aliens, okay? Okay. I played the shit out of Half-Life, the original one.
I figured that's what you were talking about when you said crowbar.
Yeah, yeah. It was the original Half-Life. I got it when it's big freaking orange boxes they used to sell at, like, CompUSA. Original release.
So, favorite video game series, do you have one?
I can't really claim that right now.
No.
I mean, there's a lot of game series I really love. I wish they'd make another Homeworld. I loved Homeworld.
I've got three that are a
top. I really, really like fighting games, and I'm glad Street Fighters keep going. And... I used to say Final Fantasy, but they... No. Everything past 10. No. And 10 was questionable. But pretty.
I was thinking Final Fantasy up to about 9.
I really like Mass Effect.
Oh, yes.
Mass Effect series is awesome.
I hope they bring back the Mako in the third one. I miss being able to drive blatantly and unabashedly like a female driver.
Because you totally don't do that.
Oh, no. Well, in Mass Effect, I do. It's awesome. You do it in I almost managed to flip the Mako.
You do it in real life.
The postal truck hit me, not the other way around, and there was ice.
I'm talking about you almost running my ass over in my own goddamn apartment complex, you crazy bitch.
One time.
I'll never forget. I will never forget it.
Texas furries.
Yep, we're all douchebags, guys.
All of them.
If you have a penis and you live in Texas, you're a terrible person, according to this esteemed lady sitting on the couch with me.
Adjacent and within striking distance.
Yes.
I really didn't think that arm. Very well.
And you know, if you hit with the metal side and have the case closed on that, it probably won't damage the unit.
Him or me?
No, the iPad.
She's talking about you striking.
If you hit iPad. Him with the side that doesn't have the screen on it and the case closed, it probably shouldn't hurt it too much. So
yeah.
You're like whapping somebody with a book.
I will relocate his boyfriend's expensive pen up your ass.
I suppose that would be an interesting way to test places it can write.
It would be. I would be very cold and serrated. Yes. So
I'll give him a report so he can read it.
We should probably end this because it is now pretty darn late. And we all have stuff to do on the morrow and adventures for the weekend. So on that note, and this is the real one, this is the true ending. If you've made it this far and have the golden key, you get the true ending. Good night.
And big balls.